It is a long way from you up here. I have seen higher pulpits, but I grew up leading congregations in the South where they don't look anything like this, so I'm a little overwhelmed. Will you forgive me if I come close? I feel a little more comfortable here. I'm so happy to be with you. Thank you for your warm welcome. It's been a real joy working with Jane and the others who lead worship during this period. And I shared with them that I really have had the experience of your strong leadership in this congregation. So kudos to all of you. And Jane and I both laughed when she asked for volunteers, like six of you stood up without even taking a breath. That's fantastic. I wish you all the very best in this period of transition. And I want to say that I will not be the only one spreading the word about what a wonderful congregation this is and what a lucky minister it will be who will come and find you and minister with you in this community. I miss doing this. I miss being part of a congregation, but it is a great honor to be with you as the CEO and president of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. I was 27 years in congregational ministry, and this new work is an incredible privilege to visit lots of congregations, and it's really in some way like building a really mega congregation to do a very particular piece of the work that we care so much about, and that is defending human rights internationally and here in the United States. For almost 80 years, UUSC has been doing this work. Much of our work is focused on supporting and protecting the rights of people who are displaced. Some of you, I'm sure, know our history, having been founded in World War II, and in some ways, it feels like the work will never end, but the joy of being so close to the work is to get to experience and learn from our partners, grassroots leaders, about the difference they are able to make in their communities, the progress, the real change that happens because of the support that UUSC provides to these small, courageous organizations around the world. So thank you. We do that because of the support you provide. We're 100% independent. We don't get money from anyone except for our supporters, individual members, and also congregations. So thank you for that. I hope you feel a part of this very important work of the UUSC. My reading this morning comes from the Slovenian poet Boris Novak. It's a poem that has been working on me this year and holding me and inspiring me and carrying me. It's called Decisions by Boris Novak. Between two words, choose the quieter one. Between words and silence, choose listening. Between two books, choose the dustier one. Between two animals, choose the one who needs you most. Between bird and sky, between earth and sky, choose the bird. Between two children, choose both. Between the lesser and the bigger evil, choose neither. Between hope and despair, choose hope. It will be harder to bear. In December, I was in San Diego with 400 faith leaders as part of an action there to proclaim, love knows no borders. We walked to the border wall at Tijuana, a wall that is built, you may know, a good distance into the water. The strong waves and the soaring birds mocked the wall, seemingly proclaiming with us, love knows no borders. As we got to the edge of the beach, some of our organizers spread themselves throughout our long line of four across to lead us in a traditional ritual of remembrance, to remember some of those who have died making the dangerous journey. So they stood as beside the line and in the traditional way called out the names of those, some of those who have died. And we responded, presente. It's a traditional way to remember. Presente, will you? In the months since December, with heavy hearts, we have added at least two names to that list of those lost. Jacqueline Call, age 7. Felipe Gomez Alonso, age 8. Between the lesser and the bigger evil, choose neither. Between two children, choose both. Both the child from the United States and the child from Guatemala. Between despair and hope, choose hope. It will be harder to bear. I love the poet's challenge to consider our choices, to remember that we are always making choices. The last line stops me, though. Is hope really harder to bear? May I confess that despair tempts me, and I find it really hard. In July, shortly after starting at UUSC, I traveled with 60 faith leaders to Ajo, Arizona. We learned about the brutal conditions many in Central America face, seemingly getting more brutal every day, and the way our government has weaponized our desert in this country as a deterrent to migration, cutting off safer places for people to make their way across so that they are forced through treacherous geology and the deserts and places where people literally die making the journey. Last year, the remains of 128 people were found, and these are only the remains that have been discovered. So many more people have disappeared. How do we not despair when deadly deterrence is policy? Our group walked only about a half a mile into the desert that morning. At first glance, I think we might have looked a little silly in our clerical stoles and our collars, but we made the journey as a witness. Many of us dressed this way to visibly support the volunteers being targeted for their humanitarian work. We also made the journey to help, leaving between us 125 gallons of water that day in hopes that people making that terrible journey might have a chance to survive. I wore heavy shoes on that day despite the incredible heat. My feet needed protecting from the searing sand, even for the short half-mile in and half-mile out journey. At one point, when my feet were feeling hot, I remembered the makeshift shoes we had been shown, cloth folded into a thick layer and then tied, attached with string to itself and to people's feet. How do we not despair when our leaders are lying about almost everything related to Central American migration? We went to Ajo this summer because UUSC's partner, No More Deaths, asked us to organize faith leaders to show up in solidarity with their volunteers who, as I said, are being harassed and targeted and actually criminally charged for leaving water in the desert for people to drink. People criminally charged for providing humanitarian assistance. In the No More Deaths case, perhaps you've heard or read about it, while charges have been dropped for some of those volunteers just in the last month to 6 weeks, there are four who have been charged and found guilty, and one who is facing two felony counts. No More Deaths is being increasingly targeted because they brought to light the practice of federal agents who were slashing the bottles of water that they had left in the desert. In a 2017 report, they cited 415 times that water was vandalized in the desert. How do we not despair when officers of the law are committing inhumane acts in the line of duty? Scott Warren, the volunteer facing two felony charges and the possibility of 20 years in prison for harboring illegal migrants, will see the judge in the first part of May for his trial. No More Deaths is hopeful about what's happening with public attention being shown on the case and the outrage of so many people about these charges, but we will keep watching. Earlier this month, I was in Tucson with UUSC's board, and we had the opportunity to hear from one of the volunteers who had been charged, Parker Dagan. Parker has been a volunteer for No More Deaths, and before serving in this capacity, she was actually an activist for the conservation of lands, which is quite an irony because the charge under which she was charged under laws of protecting natural habitat in this country. In a piece she wrote for CNN, she concludes with this hope about the work they are doing. Someday, she said, I hope to walk out into the wilderness in southern Arizona without the fear that I will encounter someone in distress or the body of someone we were too late to help. I hope to walk out without helicopters circling overhead and armed agents driving past. I hope to feel the beauty and peace of the Sonoran Desert once again. How do we not despair when humanitarian relief is considered a crime, when compassion is criminalized? How do we not despair? But the forces of hate and division want this. They want us to choose despair. They want us to be discouraged and afraid. They know that our discouragement will lead us to resign ourselves to all that is wrong, to believe that we are powerless. In Alaska this October, UUSC brought together our partners from around the world for a convening to talk about climate-forced displacement. Our partners in the South Pacific, in Alaska, in Bangladesh, in Louisiana and Washington State. These are communities of Indigenous and First Nations people who are not debating whether or not climate change exists because they are living it every day. Many of them have already lost their homes, and many of the others are just counting the days and weeks and months until they will be forced to leave the land that is such an integral part of their identity. They face this reality at the same time while, as Indigenous and First Nations people, they realize that their voices are little heard in the conversation about climate change. It was so inspiring to be in the room during those 5 days to hear these leaders tell their stories, the challenges they are facing, the solutions they are creating, and more than anything else, the hope they are living. They don't have time for despair. At the end of our week together, they reminded us that they need us, all of us, to hear their stories, to understand the way they bring leadership to this problem, and to help amplify their voices as we face this increasingly difficult crisis of displacement that is created by climate change. Day after day in our work, we have the privilege of witnessing leaders and activists who choose hope. And as I think of them, I begin to understand the poet's challenge. Hope is hard to bear because it comes with heartbreak. Hope is harder to bear because it leaves our hearts open and vulnerable. It means I can't turn my back on the suffering in the world. I can't walk away. Hope means my heart will be broken again and again. Despair diminishes us, our humanity. It creates hardened hearts. And a hardened heart doesn't have to do anything. A hardened heart doesn't have to bear anything. Hope is a choice that requires discipline and practice and faith. And this is why I am a Unitarian Universalist. This is why I am here today. Our communities are places of courage that call me back to hope. I knew that when I arrived, I would learn something from you and from your work as a congregation that would give me hope. So I need your help. South Church, give me some hope. What do you see in the work of this congregation that is changing the world, that is an active hope, living our faith with confidence? What's happening at South Church that gives you hope? Senior youth? Thank you. Social justice? What kind of social justice? I understand that just recently, you as a congregation voted to make the commitment to be a level 2 sanctuary congregation. Thank you so much for this commitment and this courage. That gives me hope. After the service, I want to hear more. UUSC's partners are my greatest source of hope these days. I have seen the broken heart and the brave hope of feminist leaders in Central America who risked their lives by exposing violence and impunity. I have seen the broken heart and brave hope of a community in Haiti that built eco-villages from nothing. I have seen the broken heart and brave hope of women in Nicaragua who are demanding safety at home and in the streets, and of journalists in Honduras who are exposing their government's cruel policies and violent retributions at great personal risk. These are just a few of UUSC's partners that give me hope. If you are feeling the tug of despair, if you are finding hope the difficult choice to make, I hope that the work, our work, through our Unitarian Universalist Service Committee will be a source of hope for you as well. It won't be easy. Nothing that really matters is. Unitarian Universalist values and aspiration offer a vision of a world transformed by love and justice. And we are here for no less than this. They can call it a crime. They can pass laws that criminalize our values and our work for justice. They can tempt us with despair, with disregard, and hate. But I promise you this, we will not stop. With broken hearts and brave hope, let us be charged and found guilty. May it be so. Amen.